just have a word in my heart that this is the key. Worshiping the Lord is the key to your life. Where all other things grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Lord, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer, and we declare that you are the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and you are worthy. You are worthy of our adoration. You are worthy of our attention. You are worthy of our praise and our worship and our life and our surrender and our love. We thank you for the key of worship, Lord, that we get to worship you and be in your presence, but you unlock our lives for us. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. And that is the key. That is the key. Set your mind there. Things above. Worship. Let me have your heart. Just let me have your heart. For your life is hidden with me. I am yours. You are mine. Your life is hidden in me. When you worship, when you look up here, you don't just see me. You find yourself. You see you in me. I reveal you. Those who seek to save themselves, you lose it. But when you lose yourself, when you lose those things that are on this earth, not setting your mind on things down here, not selfish, but looking up, you'll find yourself. Worship. Worship. Look up. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, the scripture says in Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. There's a look. There's a heavenward look. Even as an unbeliever, there was a faith look to the cross. As a believer, there's a faith look up to your Lord. That same simple trust. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, Father, we thank you for your presence in this place. We thank you for your Spirit, for your Word. We just pray, Lord, that you have your way this morning. We pray, Father, everything that needs to be said would be said, that there would be a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you this morning, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would see things, that we would know things, Lord, just intuitively by your Spirit. We thank you for this blessing over our nursery kids church. Each heart blessed, touched, ministered to by the power of your Spirit. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
All right, well, good morning. Again, welcome. Good to have each of you here with us this morning. We've been going through a series over the last several weeks entitled Changing Your Reality. And we've kind of been talking about, really, I guess, just the premise of this whole series is the idea, the concept that we as believers, as Christians, we have what we'd call our theology, what we believe about God and different things, okay? And I've kind of represented this visually almost in your mind's eye, if you would, as this kind of this high level, this bookshelf, you know, of your books, of your theology, the Bible, and then the good teachings that divide the word rightly. This is what I believe, all right? And then down here from the bookshelf, we have our reality, where we're living every day, okay? And a lot of times we find out
that there's a gap between what we believe and what our reality is in our everyday life, okay? Now, first off, just no condemnation. There's a gap there because we are growing, we're developing, we're learning how to, the Bible says we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind, we're learning how to grow and walk in the things that we believe. So there's going to be a gap. But we also want to be honest with ourselves. In this series, this is my heart for believers, that there is a gap there, and that gap can close, and we can change our reality. Here's the trap I've found myself in. I've got my theology, I know what I believe and why I believe what I believe, and I've kind of got my reality that I've just gotten used to, all right? And I don't always recognize sometimes that difference between the two. And so what the purpose of this series is for us to do that. Because if we're not careful, we can kind of get caught in that religious trap where I know my theology, I know what I believe, I know why I believe what I believe, I'll debate it, I'll fight it, I'll defend it, but yet at the same time, it's not changing my reality where I'm at. And I just came to this inflection point in my own walk with the Lord that I'm not down here to defend theology and fight and argue doctrine, and I'm down here to be a living epistle, read and known of all men. There's supposed to be something about my theology that comes through my life. It's the doer of the word that's blessed. And so what this series is, it's really kind of a heart check time to where we're saying, okay, we're going through different things of our theology and saying, what do I believe? What's my real life? All right? And then being able to, on purpose, choose my reality, choose and have things change in my life. Okay? You know, it's great to know the Word of God, but we ultimately need to have that Word change us and be changed by it. We started with God's love, and then last week we looked at God's peace, and this morning we're going to go to another area as we talk about changing our reality. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amplified, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he's a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Wow. Behold, the fresh and new has come. All right? And so that's talking about what happens to us when we receive Jesus. If you're in Christ, you are a new creation. Old passed away, all became new. It's obviously not talking about our body. We have the same body we had before. We believed in Jesus, okay? And even our very mind, our in terms of our mind, what we call our soulish being, that stayed the same. You know, I didn't lose my memory. I didn't get amnesia. I didn't lose my sense of identity and who I am in terms of the information in my mind. That all stayed intact. But something about me changed. My spirit changed. Jesus told Nicodemus, you got to get born again. You need to be born again. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. And so the 2 Corinthians 5:17 is talking about a profound thing that happened. When somebody's over here and they choose to believe on Jesus, they don't just get slapped with a Christianity tag and then they're over here, the same sinful unbeliever that they were before with a tag of Christianity. No, when somebody receives Christ, you're a new, when you pass through the cross, you become a new creation. You're not the same person on this side of the cross as you were on that side of the cross. On that side of the cross, you were by nature a child of wrath. You here on this side of the cross are by nature a new creation in Christ. That old nature in your spirit passed away. The new nature of the new creation and the Spirit of God in the new creation became your new person. It's who you are, okay? So that's such an important distinction, okay? Christianity is just unlike any other religious faith where you're just adhering to a doctrine or a dogma that you got on your theology shelf. No, Christianity changes the person you are on the inside from an old person to a new person. If any person is in Christ, a new creature altogether, the old previous moral spiritual condition, some people would call it unregenerate, there's different theological names for it, it's passed away. You were unregenerate. You're not unregenerate anymore. You are now, by nature, a new creation in Christ. You are a child of God, okay? That's just kind of important groundwork distinction that we need to lay foundationally because of where we're going. We're talking about reality here again, the world or state of things as they actually exist, as opposed to the idealistic or notational idea of them, okay? What do we want to talk about in terms of that reality? We're going to talk about your identity, okay? Changing your reality as it relates to your identity. Because when we got born again, our identity in Christ came over here as a new creation, all right? This is where you are. In fact, in Colossians it says, you are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. This is who you are. This is where you are. This was the whole point of the new birth. Not to just start up another religion in the earth, but to change and to redeem people on the inside that they could become brand new. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. We're over here, okay? And so the whole point of this message this morning is for our reality, the way we see ourselves, to line up with our theology. Our theology is we're new. This is game over. This happened, all right? This happened when I became a Christian. And when we're talking about this, sometimes we hear these truths and they can be emotionally inspiring. Wow, that's a great concept that I'm really new. And when we're talking about changing your reality, you find out that that's not good enough. It's not good enough to look over here and be emotionally inspired by the fact that, wow, whew, I'm new. Emotional inspiration is good for maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes. Probably won't last you the day. But Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's when you hear the truth of this and you believe this is true, that's when you begin to get traction and things begin to change in your life, okay? Because you can be over here in your spirit, but in your head, you can still be back over here, feeling this way, when in reality, you're over here. And so when we're talking about changing our reality with our identity, is we want all of us to be over here. We want to live from this place of this new creation of who we are in Christ Jesus. And so, changing your reality, your identity, as it relates to who you are and who you are on the inside. The first aspect that we want to look at, just in terms of this, is what we call facing your reality, your perceptions, okay? There's reasons why our perceptions of who we are and how we feel about ourselves don't always line up with this new creation, who we are in Christ Jesus, okay? And God knew that. God knew that would be the standpoint, but God knew that would happen, but he wants us to also realize and understand why we're perceiving what we're perceiving, okay? We're going to kind of go there, and like I said, when we're talking about facing our reality, we're not talking about what I should be thinking according to my theology. We're talking about being honest, all right? What does the scripture say? It says you'd bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's what we're doing this morning. We're taking an honest evaluation. How do I feel? What do I see? How do I see myself, all right? Before you can change your reality, you got to face your reality. It's not good enough to defend, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus, and I'm righteous in Christ. You can defend that. You can say that till you're blue in the face and still live on top of a bunch of guilt and shame. That's not what this series is about, knowing what you believe. This is about letting what you believe change your reality. So we're going through an exercise here. We're letting it sink in. We're being honest with where our reality is. How do I see myself? How am I doing, all right? And I know this is a step of faith, but you're going to take that step and say, nope. I'm going to be honest with me. I'm going to be honest with the fears, the concerns, the frustrations, the guilt, the shame. I'm going to be honest. What is that? There's reasons why we deal with this. 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 17 says, therefore, from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's just the scripture that we just got done reading, but it's a little bit more inclusive here. We'll look at that verse 16 again. So we've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ from merely a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that if anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, the old life is gone, the new life has begun. Very important, before you even get to that new creation scripture, he starts out by saying, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, or we've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. And this is one of the traps we get into when it comes to what we're calling about your perceptions. It's very, obviously very easy to perceive ourselves according to the flesh. You know, we can see ourselves, the weaknesses. There's nobody who knows the weights and sins that so easily beset you than you, all right? And it's very easy for those weights and sins to become part of our identity. And they just sneak in. And well, I guess that's just who I am. Oh, well, that's just kind of that one's that got me. The thing of it is, it gets in our identity. And a lot of times when you talk about breaking addiction, it starts with your identity. It starts from knowing who you are on the inside.
Amen, Pastor.
And so from there, amen, it works your way out. But you got to start there. You got to start in here, who you are. And so there's an inflection point here as far as your perceptions. And this is where we're talking about changing our reality. You all have great theology. I'm assuming you'd all get an A if I gave you a new creation test this morning, all right? I'm not doubting your education. I'm not doubting your doctrine. I'm not doubting what you know. I'm assuming you guys are there. You know it, all right? We're doing a different exercise. We're saying, okay, that's great. Where am I today? How is this working? From now on, we stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. So, one of the things that we got to realize is that we have a natural tendency to evaluate ourselves from a human point of view. We're kind of talking about how we get here. We're going to get to the solution later. We're just familiar. We're just familiar with that stuff that sneaks up on us, that gets us, that trips us up. And a lot of times that stuff is different from somebody else's stuff, you know? There's a broad spectrum when you talk about the works of the flesh, and there's just different things that play on different people for different reasons. But the bottom line is, it's stuff that's stealing an identity, who you really are. And it's important to just kind of, as we're thinking about the background of this, think about that stuff in the concept of identity. Just kind of hold those thoughts in the back of your mind. Realize that there's something that's going on here. We've kind of been saying, too, through this series, that when you sow to the flesh, you of the flesh reap corruption. It's not that when you get caught sowing to the flesh, you of the flesh reap corruption. When you sow to the flesh, you of the flesh reap corruption, whether anybody knows it or not, because it's stealing your identity to you. It's affecting you. It's affecting how you see you. It steals your identity. This is like one of the great revelations. You know, one of the great revelations of that scripture, that accountability of that scripture, when you realize that it's like, this isn't about people. This isn't about what they think. This is just really spiritual truth here. There's an awakening that, yeah, it affects my identity. It just affects how I see myself. You know, I reap according to what I sow. And so that's just to kind of see things in those lights, in the light of identity. And in Galatians puts it this way, walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Flesh lust against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you can't do the things that you wish. Before I read the second part, I just want to talk about that word lust, okay? Sometimes we get kind of almost a single-dimensional view of what that word lust means. The word lust just means strong desire. It is really, in of itself, the original Greek word, not really immoral in of itself. It's the context, okay? A lot of times it's used in a sexual context, so you kind of think lust in terms of sex. But Jesus said to his disciples, at the Passover, he said, I've lusted, our English word lust, but he said, I've greatly desired to eat this meal with you tonight. It's the same Greek word as when Jesus said you shouldn't lust after a woman, same Greek word. It just means strong desire. It can be a good strong desire, like Jesus wanting to share that Passover meal, or it can be an evil strong desire, you know, to lust and to do a wrong thing. So that word, it just means strong desire. In that, it can go in both directions. We see Jesus using it in a good direction, and he gives us an example of using it in a wrong direction. But it's important to understand that the flesh has strong desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit has strong desire against the flesh, and they are contrary the one to the other. So this battle that we kind of talked about that we all go through, yeah, it's a battle, but it's strong desire, and it's stuff that's going through, and there's a fight there that's going on, and it can almost be a little bit like a boxing match, you know? And you can be doing good, and maybe you lose a round, or you lose a few rounds, okay? Things like that. But the thing that we've got to realize is when we're talking about this inflection point, this battle is battling for, ultimately, and see it in your mind, it's going not just for the fulfilling the lust of the flesh, but it's going for your identity. Because when you yield to the flesh, it affects your identity. It doesn't change the fact that you're a new creation. You're just as new, you're just as righteous as you've ever been. It doesn't undo the work of redemption in that sense. All right? But it does something. I'm going to go get to Romans 6. It says, well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become a slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God you were once slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching which we've given you. And that's the thing about when you yield to the lust of the flesh, when you yield to flesh, you have that sense of slavery. Like we said, there's that weight and the sins that so easily beset you. But I'm righteous in Christ, but in your mind you're going, but I'm a slave to this thing. There's a slavery identity that gets in there. These are things that can cause our perception, again, taking the ideal new creation perception and begin to look at things on the earth and look at ourselves according to our flesh, according to our own weaknesses and things like that. There's another point, too, I like to tell off on myself on this one a little bit. In 2 Corinthians 5, where it says, therefore we regard no one according to the flesh. All right? Sometimes you've got your own stuff and junk, you know, that you're dealing with. And sometimes there's personas and images that people project on you. All right? Maybe they're insecure, and so they need you to be a certain way to justify the way they think about you or justify the way they do different things. And so there's stuff that you can feel coming at you. There's stuff you got to deal with. And so there's going to be things that people are going to do. And I remember kind of, again, just telling off on myself a little bit. When I would be driving and I'd see somebody swerving in front of me, if somebody swerved in front of me, in my mind, I would just say it out loud with disgust and an air of superiority. They're drunk. I can't believe it. What in the world? I would just immediately judge somebody as drunk if they swerved in front of me. It was just, you know, you do it at something a few times, it becomes a habit, and you just do it. And I remember it was probably, you know, I remember kind of doing that for a while, and then it was later on, you know, not that many years later, I was still a pretty young driver, you know, and it was one of those times I had driven through, and I got my shake and my burger and my fries, and I'm trying to drive and eat and do all that at the same time. And I can't exactly remember if it was my fry or my burger or something fell off my lap, and I reached for it to get it, and I swerved, and I caught the wheel and got myself right back in the middle of the road. And the first thing I did just instinctively is I looked in my rearview mirror and said, oh my goodness, they're going to think I'm drunk. I didn't even consciously stop. It was just there. That's sowing and reaping. And the Lord gave me a good word one time. He said, if you want to be free from the paranoia of how people perceive you, you need to stop being critical in the way you perceive other people. Believe the best. It will help you. Amen. That's sowing to the Spirit. You can't help it. If you're critical of people, you are going to put it on yourself. You will measure yourself. Even if there's an arrogance or whatever, you can you know, emotionally try to do it. Well, they're so arrogant, they won't care, they're critical, they don't see it in themselves, da-da-da-da-da. There is an inequity going on in the heart. There is an insecurity there, whether they'll publicly acknowledge or not. You just reap it. You do reap it. And so if there's areas where you're dealing with a fear of people perceiving you, just kind of check up and say, because that's what the Lord had me do. Just repent. That's how you can be free. Because you understand? It's sowing and reaping. If you don't stop the sowing, you're not going to stop the reaping. The only way to stop the reaping is stop sowing. So you got to be honest about where you're sowing, right? That's just how you get free from some things. Isn't that amazing how you can get deliverance from just stopping sowing some things? You don't have to cast out a devil. You don't even have to renew your mind on some things. You just stop sowing. I'm just not going to do that anymore, and I won't reap that harvest anymore. So these are different things that mess with our perception. It messes with, we could just kind of say, kind of who we are and how we can perceive ourselves that can affect the perceptions of our identity. So I'm just throwing stuff out here, okay? I'm not, you know, whatever. Like we said, there's a second sermon. We got my sermon that we're just preaching, and then the Holy Spirit's showing you, all right? So listen to that second sermon as far as however this would apply to you, to your heart. Things that may or could have gotten you off from the perception of, you know, of your identity and who you are in Him. But this is why it's important. You know, like we said, this is a little bit like a boxing match here that in the New Living it says, for your self-life, craze the things that offend the Holy Spirit and hinder Him from living free within you. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your self-life from dominating you. So then, the two incompatible, conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the Spirit. Okay? So you can kind of see that battle going on. That selfish flesh and the new creation life of the Spirit, they're going at it. And the important thing, I will just say this before we move on. Like I said, if you lose a round, keep getting back up. Keep answering the bell. Don't stay down, all right? Because it's really, it's a fight for your identity. This is really fighting for who you believe you are in God's eyes. So that's perception stuff. Now let's kind of move on to facing our theology. And again, when I talk about facing reality, that's just, I'm not saying this is the way you think. I'm just saying this is stuff we all deal with. It's tendencies that we have. Let the Holy Spirit show you, you know. But be honest. That's all I'm saying. This series is just about being honest. It's not about even learning new theology. But it's about being reminded, and we're going to be reminded of it right now. But it's holding these two together and saying, how am I doing here? Lord, how can I let your truth be more of my reality? So, facing your theology, we're going to look at that bookshelf now. Let's take a look at some God's realities, all right? Spiritual realities that happened on the inside of you. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on each of these. I'm going to kind of machine gun this a little bit. And we're going to rifle through this. We had a teacher back at Rhema called Machine Gun Beatty. He was a Old Testament survey guy, I think it was, and he would just rattle like a machine gun, and we'd just be all taking notes and trying to keep up with him. But this is a case where there's so much. I mean, we could spend weeks about all the amazing things and the riches of what God has done for us in Christ, but it's good to be reminded, you know? It's good to take communion and be reminded of what Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago. It's also good to come back and review what God has done for us in Christ. So let's take a look at a few of these things just in review here. This is what God's done. 1 John 3:1-2, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed. And as we do this, I just want you to think, everything we're going to look at right now has nothing to do with any effort on your part. All right? Yes, I want to grow. I want to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. That's all good. I want to grow. That's good. But this stuff right now that we're looking at isn't even about really your growth or getting better. This is finished. This is just done. This is complete. There's no on your part at all as it relates to the stuff that we're about to look at. All you can do with this stuff is go, wow. All you can do is relax and go, wow, that's in me? That's all you can do with this. It's all you got. But we need to be reminded of these realities. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. We should be. Therefore, the world doesn't know us because it didn't know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. It has not yet revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. You're not overcoming the works of the flesh to become a child of God. You are. You are. With all the stuff you're working through and going through, and you just are. You are that right now. Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, new creation, old has passed away, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who's reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ. He's done it. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. You've become the righteous. Not only is that new creation new, but that new creation is righteous. There's a quality of that human spirit that's absolutely righteous. How righteous? Well, you were His enemies, separated from Him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now He has reconciled you to Himself through the death of Christ in His physical body. As a result, He has brought you into His own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before Him without a single fault. All right. So, on your best day of oomph and growing, you can't reach this, all right? This is a place. This is a place in God that it's a, what He calls a gift. It's a gift, but this is done. This is how He sees you. This is the quality of that new creation, who you are. Romans 5:1-2, therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So here we are, standing in a place of undeserved privilege, standing confidently, joyfully, looking forward to glory. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. This doesn't happen when I decide to forgive. This doesn't happen when I finally give it. No, this is done. That love is there now. New creation, righteous, but wait, there's more. 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your body is the temple of the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? New creation, righteous, with the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you as a child of God in undeserved privilege with that love shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. We are His God's masterpiece. He's created us anew in Christ so that we can do the good things He's planned for us long ago. Not only did He do all these amazing things in us, but He sent us with a plan, His own personal plan for our life. Okay? These are things that we have to remind ourselves of. And again, these are things, I think it's important too, sometimes people will talk about, you know, they'll talk about themselves, and I've heard people almost kind of get into theological battles, and it kind of, it's so many times it depends on perspectives. Oh, those people who think they're righteous, that, you know, whatever, you know, I'm not righteous, I'm a worm, I'm little, I'm nothing, I'm nobody, you know, I'm little, you know, and from a certain standpoint, you got to understand, theologically, people are coming from two completely different perspectives. When it comes to you, when it comes to you, my natural being, my Ed House, I am nothing. I am a nobody. Paul said, for not many mighty, not many noble are called. God's chosen the nobodies of this world, the foolish, to confound the somebodies, to confound the wise. He set it up, and Jesus at one point, he said, Father, I thank you, you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and you've revealed it unto babes. All right? So in other words, from that sense, yeah, we're not boasting in my natural ability and my aptitude and my, I just have this ability to see through things. It has nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that at all. It's not anything of myself. In fact, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. There's no bragging rights. So if you're talking from the vantage point of self, yes, from the vantage point of self on that scale, I am a worm, all right? All right, I'll say I'm the dirt under the worm, all right? So I'm even, you know, just a cut below of where that is. So I get that. But the thing of it is that we are now in Christ. So I'm not talking about myself from the outside. I'm talking about myself from the inside in terms of prestige or status. I'm talking about myself from the inside. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. No matter who you are over here, in terms of your natural person, slave, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, male, female, social status class. Paul listed all the different combinations of possible civilization. When you pass through the cross, it's the great leveler. You're all equal in Christ. You're all complete in Christ. There's nobody who's a little bit more complete, a little bit more favored than you. No, that doesn't exist. There's nobody who's just a little bit more, there's nobody who's just a little bit more, a little cut above that gives them the authority to look down on you and be critical of you. That doesn't exist in Christ. It's a level playing field. There's no one more or less righteous. There's no one more or less favored. There's no one more or less complete. There's an equality over here that gives you peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ and sets you free from man. Man will still try to religiously control through different things, but the reality is you're free. You are totally in Him. God doesn't smile on somebody a little bit more than He smiles on you. He doesn't. Don't let anybody religiously manipulate you. You are just as righteous, just as smiled on, just as loved, just as favored as any other part of the body of Christ. Don't ever look across at other things and say, oh, da-da-da, you are just, the reality is you are just as loved. You are just as favored. There's not even a modicum of difference. Nothing. You are complete in Him. Nothing missing in you. You don't have to envy. You don't have to. You can just enjoy the reality of what God did in you. You are His workmanship. You are complete. That's the reality, okay? And so, the big point is choosing your reality, choosing your identity. We kind of looked at the natural fleshly things that can cause our identity to get messed up. We looked at the true north. We looked at that theological bookshelf of who we are in Christ. But the big thing here is choosing our identity. There's a collision between these things. There's a collision that happens between how I feel and how I know God sees me and how I know I'm supposed to be on the inside. There's a collision there. And this is what this whole series is about, is addressing that collision, addressing this inflection point. And Lord, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus over this. I just pray, Father, that this will be clear. I just pray that there will be revelation here and that gaps will get bridged right now in the name of Jesus. That things are going to change. That our realities are going to change. That we're going to live from this place. I thank you for it, Father God. We just commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. The choice, choosing your reality. This is where we're taking a fresh look. First scripture I want to look at, Colossians 3. We've been looking at this one. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Yes, feast on the treasures of heavenly realm. Fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. This is quite an admonition, all right? He's just saying, set, feast on the treasuries of the heavenly realm. It's giving your attention to those things. This is a choice that we have. I'm going to look at choices that affect our identity. One of the choices that we have that affects your identity is when you choose, like Jody was saying in worship, worship's the key. What are you doing in worship in essence? You're choosing to set your mind on things above where Christ is sitting at the right. You're choosing to worship Him. You're choosing to set your affections. In the same way we can subtly not realize how sin makes identity choices for us, we need to consciously be aware of the fact of how worship makes an identity choice for us too. As you begin to worship Him as your God, as your Father, as your Savior, you're also reinforcing your place, who you are, your identity in Him as you're worshiping. It's a decision to set your mind on things above. It's a decision to do that. Here's another scripture kind of along the lines we were talking about sin before. You know, Paul said when he died, Jesus died, he died once to break the power of sin, but now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourself to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Later in Romans 8:2, he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The old King James says, reckon yourself to be dead unto sin. These are just some decisions, some identification decisions. When I'm dealing with sin, I got to reckon myself, I am dead unto sin. In other words, there's no weights and sins that so easily beset me that beset the new creation, who I really am in Christ. My new creation that has been made new in Christ has no desire for flesh stuff. We saw that scripture where there's the self-life and there's the new creation life of the Spirit. I have no cravings. It's flesh that craves flesh. Spirit craves spirit. Anytime I've yielded to the flesh, I've never satisfied the new creation. In fact, that's when your own heart condemns you. Your own heart says, we don't eat this. Gross. I don't like this. That's why when you cross the line over there, there's something on the inside. Your own human spirit goes, nope, that's not it. That's not feeding me. You know, there's that poem, the two natures beat within my breast, the one I love, the one I hate, the one I feed will dominate. That inward man spirit or that outward of the flesh, you know, which one is going to feed? But when you do something, when you cross over, that inward man goes, nope, that doesn't feed me. There's something that's not right there. There's something that could. But the thing that we got to realize is that we can consider ourselves dead to be dead unto sin. Now, let's take a look at one more. Colossians 3, it says, lie not one to another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So here he's making reference to that new man in verse 10, who's renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. We're getting that theological knowledge. And what we're having to do, he's saying, put on that new man. Put on tender mercies. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Why does he have to tell us to put it on? Apparently it's not on. It's in us, right? We're still a new creation. But he's telling us to put it on. He's telling us to identify with it. He's telling us to realize that. He's saying, be who you are. Put it on. It's summonsing. These aren't, you know, another 10 commandments of things to have to do. This language, he's saying, in verse 12, he says, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, as a new creation in Christ Jesus, put on the new man, put on tender mercies. It's there. That's the good news. Put it on doesn't mean work it up. Put it on means put it on because it's in you. That love of God's been shed abroad in you. You put it on because you got it in your drawer to put it on. You're not having to create it. It's in you. Put it on. This is faith. Now, when you think about this, you know, sometimes we think over here, say somebody doesn't know Christ, why doesn't God just force everybody to have to believe in him? Why doesn't he just force us to believe in Jesus so we can all be saved and children of God? Why does he make us make a decision? There's no love without a decision. Love is going to choose. You're going to choose it. We're not robots. God created us with that ability to choose him. He wanted us to choose him. And we choose him. We're in his family because we called upon his name. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made. When I called upon the name of the Lord, it wasn't like a demon spirit took over, controlled me, and made me have to call upon it. No, I chose to call upon his name. It was an act of my will. Nobody moved my mouth. I made a conscious decision to believe and to call upon the name of the Lord, and I was saved. It was a decision. I'm glad I made that decision. I'm glad I decided. And I couldn't prove anything. I just, something witnessed that was the drawing of the Holy Spirit, and I said yes to the love of God. When you come over on this side of the cross, why can't God just force me to see myself as new all the time? Why can't God just force me to just feel like the electrical power of the Holy Spirit? Why can't God just make me feel like spiritual Superman all the time? Why doesn't he make me? When you were over here, you said goodbye to part of yourself to receive Jesus. Love. Love dictates you do the same thing here. You're choosing between that flesh life and that spiritual life. You're choosing between identities. And this is heart-wrenching stuff. When there's flesh stuff, and like we've talked about flesh, it's not just the classic, you know, adultery, fornication, sex, drugs. There's middle flesh stuff. Hatred, wrath, outbursts of anger, jealousies, contentions, all that kind of stuff. It's all flesh. And there's identity there. And God doesn't force. He shows you, just like the preacher, that gospel preacher, showed you that Jesus died for your sins. We find out who we are in Christ, but we have the same inflection point of decision that love dictates. We choose for ourselves. The preacher can tell me there was a Jesus who died 2,000 years ago, but at some point, I got to believe it. The preacher can tell me I'm a new creation in Christ, but I've got to choose to believe it. Either I am or I'm not. If this is emotional inspiration, we've all got better things to do with our time than to pretend that something's real that isn't. No, it's true. I had to believe Jesus died. I got to believe that the death and resurrection was true. I'm believing, I'm an elect. I'm believing this is true. I want my theology to get in my reality. I got to believe something's true here. I got to believe it. I got to believe it. God put it to me this one time, once, when I was kind of in the fog. I just could hear him say one thing. You know, there's a lot of things he would have liked to say, I'm sure. He just said, let my voice through. You've let the other voice through of your flesh. Now let my voice through. Let my voice through. It's amazing when you'll let his voice through, you're believing he wants to talk to you. In the middle of your yuck, he wants to talk to you. In the middle of your rage, he wants to talk to you. In the middle of it, let my voice through. And I remember him saying that. And when he said, let my voice through, I just heard him say one thing. He just said, it was just Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, who stands in the path of the sinner, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in my law he meditates day and night. That was all I got in my big, ugly, complicated situation. But I let that voice through, all right? Once I let that voice through, it's the voice of his Spirit, but it's also the voice of his Word. And that's powerful. What are we talking about? You're choosing some things. You're going to choose to set your mind on things above. You're going to choose to believe that the power of God's greater than the power of sin, but you're going to also choose to put on that man. You're going to let his voice through. You're going to choose to listen to what he has to say. And as you're listening to what he has to say, it'll begin to tune you to him, tune you to his Spirit, letting his voice through. This is what, you know, the Lord just said to me then too. He said, it's not just letting my voice through, but it's you giving voice to my voice. In other words, you need to come and agree with me. It's great for God to say, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I believe it, know it, quote it, get it right on the test. But it's when I choose to say, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. What am I doing? I'm giving voice to his voice. I'm agreeing with him. I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm agreeing with God. In other words, it's not this doctrine that I defend, but down here I got this miserable, rotten life that I just, you know. No, down here there's a place in him that I see myself as a new creation. This is not an arrogant thing. This is not a pride thing. This is the thing that Satan has been trying to blind you from for years. When you see this, this is like waking a sleeping giant. This is the revealing of the sons of God stuff. When we realize what God has already done, it's just done. It's just done. I can't make myself a new creation. I can't make myself righteous. I can't plead for the Holy Spirit to come and live in me. It's already done. The car is there. Get in it. Turn the key and start driving. That's the good news of this. There's godly counsel and there's ungodly counsel. Godly counsel will line up with the Word of God. Godly counsel will point you to who you are in Christ. Godly counsel will point you there and show you that's you. There's God and there's, well, I've been using the side of the cross for a fleshly self-life. But, well, I'm going to use this side because it's a Christian side, because we can still get in the flesh and have wrong identities on the Christian side. As long as I'm, you know, when my Christianity, talking about putting on the new man, like godly counsel, it's who you are in Christ. You got to start with who you are in Christ. If your Christianity revolves around what people have done to you, if that's the center of your Christianity, God is never going to look quite right. Christianity cannot be about what people have done to you. It has to be about what Jesus did for you. It starts here. He made you new. He made you right. And from here, you can deal with that. But it has to start here. It has to start here. You've got to come back to God's love. You've got to come back to what he did for you. Because the power is here. There is power here. The law of the Spirit of life, to overcome that law of sin and death. He's given you it right here, in Christ, in him. It's got to start here. And as it starts here, what am I saying? If my Christianity is about what people have done to me and not what Jesus has done for me, that affects my identity. These are identity decisions. When I say, no, yeah, people have done a bunch of wrong, bad junk, horrible, bad. I know it. I'm not denying it. I'm not. But I'm a Christian because of what Jesus has done for me. And I'm returning to this place right here. I love you, Lord. Regardless of what people have done to me, it doesn't change what Jesus did for me. And it doesn't change, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. These are decisions that affect your identity. Because now my life isn't about reconciling that. I have been reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That reconciliation is complete. Not only is it complete, but I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ, because that most important reconciliation is done, and I am complete in Him, and this is where my peace is. This is where my peace starts. And because I have this, I can deal with the people stuff. But my center has to be here. It can't center up on any other human relationship, or I won't see God right. He'll seem unfair. But when He's center, He won't seem unfair. This is where, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. You've forgiven me the $1 million debt, and I haven't forgot about it. You've forgiven me the $1 million debt, and I'm praising you today for it. You've forgiven me of that, and I see what you've done to me. I see myself as an elect of God, holy and beloved, because of what you've done in me. These are identity decisions. This is what gets your identity back. You know, we live in a culture where identity theft is probably the biggest form of theft these days. Stealing your identity. And that's really, ideally, what Satan wants to do. He just wants to ideally steal your identity, who you are, how God has made you. How do you get your identity back? Coming back here, realizing this is where I am. This is where I am. I am in Christ. I am complete in Him. But there's something that we have to do, too, on a practical level, okay? I love this old proverb. It says, my son, give attention to my words. I'm going to kind of maybe fill it in a little bit. My son, give attention to my words. Give attention to who I say you are. Incline your ear to my sayings. Listen to what I have done for you and in you. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your identity with all diligence, your heart, for out of it spring the issues of life. They spring the addictions. They spring the everything. It starts with that identity, keeping back. But there's a vigilance, isn't there? There's a vigilance that we take communion to remember that we're saved by grace through faith and that love. But there's a vigilance, too, that we're also needing to do to keep and hold on to that identity, that God-given identity that we have. So facing our reality, yeah, we're going to have some strange perceptions because we've got our flesh, we got the world, we got the devil that get in our head. We miss it sometimes. We need forgiveness. We need grace. But at the same time, it doesn't change who we are on the inside, okay? That's the reality. Be honest. Is there some stuff there? What does our theology say? Who are we? We're amazing. And all those things that we rattle off, those are done deals, all right? Those are nothing that I am, you know, endeavoring to get on my own strength. So changing my reality is going to be simply choosing my identity. What, it's not just saying, oh, you know, it's some other fundamental decisions. It's realizing in the same way I had to, because God is a God of love and He gives me the free will to choose Him to become a Christian, He's a God of love and He doesn't force me to have to believe this stuff either. He wants me to choose Him. He wants me to choose to believe He's that good to save me, and He's that good to make me new creation. He's that good. The Holy Spirit lives in me. There have been times where I've just said in my breath, the Holy Spirit lives in me. The Holy Spirit, when I felt fear trying to come on me, the Holy Spirit is in me. The Holy Spirit is in me. Well, I know this theologically. What am I doing, though? I'm keeping that truth before my eyes. I'm not letting it depart from my eyes. I'm keeping that truth in the midst of my heart. There's a vigilance that we're doing. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. God didn't tell us that so we would get it right on a theology test. He told us that so we would see ourselves that way, so we would live that way. And this is where it takes time. Because even though I've known this theology for many years, you begin to take these things from different contexts of life and say, I'm still a new creation. In this situation, that happened to me. I'm still a new creation. God's still here. And you're going to realize that, yes, these truths don't change. No matter what people do to me at the outside, it doesn't change what God did for me. These things are absolutely true. God was for me then. He's still for me and always will be. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for just the truth of your word, for just the truth of the fact that we are new creations in Christ Jesus, that the old has passed away, that all has become new. And I just pray right now, Father, that you'll just help us all to make those decisions. In fact, if your heart can agree, go ahead and make this your declaration of faith. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I call you Father because that's who you are. I behold the manner of your love you've bestowed on me. I am a child of God. I'm a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. All has become new. Your Holy Spirit does live in me. And I can do all things through the power of your Spirit. Help me, Father, to make some decisions and to realize you want me to choose to believe your word is true, to choose to believe that you are for me, you're with me, and these things are true. I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I saw myself. It was like God permitted me to get a glimpse of the new creation. And it was glory. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. And I was kind of learning about spirit, soul, and body. And remember going back in my notepad and writing three little circles. The outward circle being my body, the next circle being the soul, my mind, and the inner circle being my spirit. And I drew those circles, and then I put a little smiley face in that middle circle, and I said, that's the real me. And that's what I saw. I'm new in him. When you depart to be with Christ, that's who you are. You're going to go, oh, wow, I really was a new creation. Well, we're supposed to know that now and live from that place right now and see it now. And the Lord said to me something else. I said, oh, that's real me. And I saw that, no, that's not the real you. I saw that picture. And the Lord said, that thing came at you from the outside. If you're yielding to the flesh, it has to come at you from the outside. Because in the inside, you're new. It's who you are. You are who God says you are. So be encouraged this morning. Make those choices. Make those decisions. Realize that, man, this is not about what people have done to you. It's what Jesus did for you. That's your identity. And realize that, man, you're going to see it and walk in it. Praise God.